This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Ken, I got this. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Dynamic Network proudly brings to you its Dynamite Tag Team Champions of the World, Max Kevlar, Ken Johnson himself, your boy Scotty Macho. Welcome to Max Destruction. That's how you do an intro, bro.
I don't think I've ever been more hyped up to do an episode. Honestly, I feel like we are just meeting the summit, you know, taking the cream and right off the top.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the episode y'all have been waiting for. This is the episode after WrestleMania. And even more so after WrestleMania, we had the Raw after WrestleMania, and we had the SmackDown after WrestleMania. So there's going to be lots of stuff happening. And we also have a review for you guys. And being within the wrestling atmosphere, it's going to be a freaking awesome review. Review of the movie Ready to Rumble from 2000. Freaking awesome. Before we get started with everything, Ken, I got a question to ask for you. This is going to be kind of like I'm going to try to do another add-on for the segment here. Because as far as knowing each other, this is visually, this is how we know each other. So I want to start a new thing so that way I can get to know my host and he can get to know me too. And since this is a movie podcast, I want to ask, what you watching? So for the past week, besides WrestleMania, obviously, what's been on your telly lately, your watch list?
All right, so I will say I just started Reacher as my new telly list. Alan Richardson is a beast of a human being. He is 1 inch taller than me and probably has at least 30 pounds, 40 pounds of muscle on me. So he wants to be Batman, and honestly, I don't have a good reason why he shouldn't be. But we will definitely go with that. I will say that the newest movie that I have seen was The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And you can look forward to that type of review later. But spoiler alert, it's fucking awesome.
Awesome. I expect no less from our Superman, Henry Cavill, and the awesome cast that's on there. Me on my side, I went to go watch Godzilla X Kong again, but this time with baby girl in tow, because she is Kong fight fan, as she says it, and she had a blast, and I was able to get a nice Godzilla cup in return. For some reason, the wife just started been watching every single Batman movie, and when I mean every single Batman, I mean every single Batman movie from Michael Keaton on. Oh yeah. She didn't watch the Batman, but she watched pretty much all of them. We just went and started binging. And of course, the wrestling for me. So with that, yeah. Thank you for sharing, sir.
You're welcome. That is a great segment. I think maybe next week we will maybe change the subject onto something different, so that we can continue to learn about each other as well as we know our fans. I think our fans are worth mentioning in this. We have only gotten bigger since the Zilla versus Ultraman episode, so thank you guys for coming over from the other pods, and we will be hitting a promo at them a little bit later, featuring our two best, much more than ever needed to be AIs. And it's going to be great. Scotty, before we get into it though, don't we have to do a wham?
Yes, sir.
Wham.
All right. So the Wham for this week, it was an immaculate request. Honestly, I don't think it could have been any better for an audience matchup that I had not done yet. That, of course, is the T-1000 himself, which, I mean, really, you need no further look as to the villain of villains for the early 90s. Especially considering them taking the Terminator franchise and turning it literally on its head by taking the villain of the first film and making him a secondary protagonist in the second film. I love Robert Patrick and pretty much everything he's done. This up recently, Peacemaker, was an outstanding foil for our man John Cena, who I know we will talk about a little bit later. So I will start with Instagram. We only have one comment, and that is from the Starowski himself, old Johnny from Console Combat, and he hit Alex Mack from the Secret World of Alex Mack, which is a deep, deep, deep cut. But honestly, I am so here for it. It's not even funny. I would not have even brought that one in, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good one. That'd be like a liquid metal water balloon fight.
Right. So, and then we have Ori Perez dropping Alita Battle Angel action, which would be pretty legit. Your brother hitting the Magneto, which I don't know if we would be able to, other than maybe the T-1000 wasn't magnetized. Maybe it utilized non-magnetic, like mercury or something as its base metal, which would be pretty legit. Colossus, and this is the Deadpool one, which is definitely my favorite of the film Colossus. Ultron, and then Deadpool himself, and then Wolverine, and then Iceman, and then the Human Torch. Why don't you just tell your brother drop the X-Men, and then that would have been it, plus Fantastic Four style.
That's what I'm hearing too. I think what I have in addition from my beautiful wife, Stephanie, she added what is this one? I think this one's the TX, the female Terminator.
Terminatrix. Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah, and to complete the X-Men, we have Wolverine on here and Cyborg from the Teen Titans. And Wanda, the Scarlet Witch herself, and Predator.
Ooh, that would be a good match. Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
So thank you, everyone, for all your picks. And these, and of course, all the Marvel answers. We got a few DCs in there, so I appreciate the DC ones. Thank you, our audience.
Who knows us so well? All right. Well, I know he's chomping at the bit, so maybe we go into what everyone really came here for, which wasn't the movie review. I think it was the Mania recap.
Yeah, that's right. The Macho Man Randy Savage here to tell you that the Mex Destruction Jabronis will be heading to your ears soon, entering the squared circle. That's right. They're heading for the big time. Ooh, yeah.
To quote Triple H on the previous nights, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. For now, until the next one. Because, oh my God, we had Monday and Friday's Raw and SmackDown are building up to another story that's going to be really, really crazy. On Friday night, they had the Hall of Fame, and I'm only going to bring this up because Muhammad Ali was inducted, and his widow, his wife, accepted the induction ceremony, but she also had another ceremony, which was kind of off-putting because it was kind of taken away from Muhammad Ali, but then again, when you know the backstory between The Rock's family and the Ali family, they were really close. But she presented The Rock, our People's Champ, with an official People's Championship. So he was going into Mania holding a belt. If anyone is going to watch Mania, he was holding a title, and that was the title that was presented by Mrs. Ali herself, the official People's Championship. Now, is that going to be a defending title? Is that a WWE official title? I don't know. But with that, we segue into night one of WrestleMania. 70-plus thousand fans in attendance. Open outdoor arena. 50-degree weather. Enough to say the fans were freezing their asses off, but they didn't care, especially when you got some of the wrestlers who doused themselves in water, and it's freezing ass cold out there. So hats off to them. Man, this card was already great. And I could tell you what, when we went through and kind of predicting some of the matches, you were kind of spot on, Ken. The first one was Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar, the Lucha Libre match. It was a tag match. Mysterio teamed up with Andrade, returning from AEW. And then Santos teamed up with Rey Mysterio's son. Great matchup. A lot of spots on there. And, of course, you know, it's Lucha Libre. So these guys started off the card, and it was fantastic, jumping around. Then we segued into the ES team versus Damage Control. This was the women's 3-versus-3 tag match. Bianca Belair, Jade, and Naomi versus the girls of Damage Control, Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota Kai. All the story was built around the champions and the tag match to come later. So it was kind of, I felt sorry for the girls because they were all pretty coming in strong, but it kind of was, I don't know.
It felt one-sided.
Yeah.
Like, And to kind of jump in real quick, Scotty, just so the fans know, I have been away from wrestling for a while. Like, I kind of dip my toe in every now and then when I see a familiar name. But for the podcast, I have started watching it again. And Mania was kind of like Ken's coming back party, right? Like, I figured if you're going to get back into it, you got to hit Mania. So I didn't watch the Hall of Fame, but I did see the highlights during day one and day two. And I figured we'll dissect these matches kind of as they go. So first let me hit Mysterio versus Mysterio. You can tell Rey is not the Rey from 20 years ago, but the man can still move, which is outstanding. Mm-hmm. I loved the tag partners of both the Mysterios. I think both of them are going to do outstanding work as this continues, and I love Lucha Libre. It's amazing. As far as the women's three-way, it is really hard, I think, with, you know, we talked about this a little bit, you know, as the generations have moved on, and you know, 30 years ago dudes were getting split open with barbed wire, and you know, it's hard for somebody that remembers that to come back in and try to like feel that same energy, especially when you see, and no hate towards the Damage Control ladies. I mean, they're Japanese wrestling's outstanding as well. Mm-hmm. But just physically, there was like the other team just imposed their will, and you could see it. There was just, it didn't even feel like there was a chance the Damage Control was going to win that match.
Yeah, this was like the Justice League versus the X-Men. There's no chance. Mm-hmm. It was a group of powerhouse women versus essentially the Japanese Lucha Libre equivalent of
High flying Japanese girls.
Yeah. And their focus was on Jade Cargo. That was her debut match officially.
That kind of makes sense. Then.
Yeah, so that's why it was kind of tailor made around this freaking Zula of a woman.
And where was she from?
She was from TNA Impact, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and then of course the hype got back up when we had the six pack challenge. This was the six team ladder match. I don't know if I completely agree with, because you know I understand it was the Judgment Day had both titles, you know, tag team titles from both shows. I didn't like that they should have just unified. Oh, sorry, dog. they should have just unified the titles versus having two separate titles hanging from the Raptors. But anyways, the match was freaking fantastic. I mean, what you expect from a ladder match, especially six teams. You had six teams going at it and everyone flying off of every which way and landing on top of each other. It was freaking amazing. With that, they had the, what is it? The Waller and Theory won the SmackDown titles. They won the blue titles. And then you had Awesome Truth. Now, and this one was a big spot, if especially if you have been away, Ken. R-Truth has been doing this inside joke for a long time, decades. He's been doing this inside joke. Every time he popped out of Royal Rumble or was in a match, he brought out a ladder and was trying to climb for some type of invisible title that was above him. Every time he brought it out, everyone would get a big laugh. Oh, there's nothing up there, you idiot. And then he'd get knocked down somehow. Finally, he brought out a ladder, and there just so happens to be something for him to grab up top. So he won it. Awesome Truth, him and The Miz are the Raw tag team titles holders.
I thought they did a great job with the amount of people in that match and keeping with the action. Like, I think it would have been very difficult to do a better job with it. I did like that I feel like they've gone down in value the ladders. Like, mm-hmm. they went to the ladders via Wish, because those things got bent just like getting moved around, which was hilarious. Yeah. And I think that actually added to it. It was like, holy shit, even if these people do get up the ladder, is it going to hold them long enough so they can slip that thing off the D-ring?
That spot at the end where you can clearly see the ladder was broken, but he was still climbing it. I was like, no, this is an accident, real accident waiting to happen or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, finally they changed that out. But yeah, that was pretty good. And this one, oh my gosh, your favorite. The Sweet Chin Music Symphony of the Usos. Now, the buildup, the hype was amazing. Coming up to this match, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, them coming out, them face to face. Ladies and gentlemen, when the match actually started, there was only one move that was used the entire match, and I felt sorry for freaking HBK Shawn Michaels, because he made that move devastating, and these guys made it like it was as simple as throwing a punch. I think I counted how many super kicks were used that night, which was almost, I think it was either 35 or 36 super kicks. There are guys who can get away with one or two. This was 36 super kicks between the two, back and forth. So I'm eager to hear what you want to say about this one, Ken.
So I agree, like, not seeing like the shows before, I thought they did a great job of doing the media like roll up and doing the hype video prior to, like, you really felt the story. You know, they even said it was like the third time that siblings ever had fought one-on-one at Mania, and I thought that was cool. You know, Bret Michaels, Owen Michaels, you know, and then I can't even remember the Hardy Boys were the other. So that was cool. I thought, you know, having kind of that dissension in the ranks for the bloodline, all of those things mixing together is going to make a match. The problem with it, other than the fact that there were like 32 super kicks, which again, just it negates the whole point of having a special move and your finishing signature move be something that is just used over and over and over again. I thought they were just carbon copies of each other. I didn't see anything that stood out for one or the other, other than their intros, which I'm still like, not even, I don't understand like the yeet, no yeet thing, but I guess I'm also old, so I'll have to continue watching it.
That's our reason, was yeet, no yeet. It's because we're old, Ken. That's how they say yes, apparently.
Isn't that also to throw things? Like, my kids talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. This is the problem with this generation. They have too many words that mean the same thing. Regardless. This is not this two old men yelling at clouds. Like I said, it felt bland because they were identical twins. There was nothing. Yeah. It was just super kick. Okay. Super kick. Okay. Super kick. Okay. Super kick. Oh, super kick. Oh, let's throw this guy into the turnbuckle. Okay. Coco, let me fly out.
Didn't have much of a mood set either, but he made it work. He showed that he was a brawler. You know, he showed emotion. You see the kind of story in the match. This one, it was like, I don't know what you guys are trying, because one of you don't kind of come off as a brawler. And I can tell you, if you watched way back when they were coming up, their carbon copy, or their moves are copies of all of their cousins coming up.
Yeah.
Umaga, Rikishi, The Rock, Roman Reigns. You saw the Superman punch, you saw the spear. They're all doing their cousins' moves, but it's like you got all those moveless, but you didn't make it make sense. Like, you don't know what kind of direction you guys are going. At least with the Hardy Boys, when they fought each other, they each had their own moveset. And, you know, they know how to. You got a guy who doesn't wrestle trying to say they don't know how to wrestle. But I mean,
so you brought up Stone Cold. Stone Cold is like that perfect marination of entertainer and he physically looked like he could bust somebody down, you know, mm-hmm. and he used entertainment, you know, to his advantage. And he had such great chemistry with all of his opponents, and they were built up so well. And it honestly, man, it looked like they had rehearsed something, you know, in this match, but it went sideways and they just kept going to the same well until somebody decided to be done.
Yeah, so enough beating that dead horse. But Jey Uso won. I mean, those guys can tell a story, but the execution, well, hopefully they'll grow. But then again, we'll come back to mentioning them again, because that's where it brings me to Monday and Friday coming up. However, we went into our Intercontinental title match, Gunther versus Sammy. This one you fell short on because Gunther lost it. But then again, he was just toying around with Sammy for a little bit. And it was a nice – this was a Rocky Drago match right here. Because they basically were telling that story, because you had Sami Zayn's wife in the audience. And then Gunther was just – beating his ass, and then every time it looked like he was going to pin, like, nope, I'm going to get him back up and do it again. Powerbomb his ass. And then finally, Sammy had a lot of heart, brought himself back up, and kicked Gunther in the face repeated times, and finally got the win. The reign of the Ring General has ended. 666, I guess that was a bad number of days to hold that title.
So I like Gunther. I think he's one of the few of this generation's wrestlers that I've watched a couple of his title, you know, contentions. He's that perfect Eastern German from the 80s, like, come to life again. I think it's awesome. This is where it started to lose me with, like, the storytelling. It felt recycled. It would, you know, pan to the mom or the wife or the family on the sidelines, and then go back to the match, and then so on and so forth. And I'll wait till the end of night one to kind of give my overall thoughts on how the WWE is structured right now, and how I kind of feel like it's oversaturated, I think. And I'll, like I said, I'll get to that in a bit. It was a great match. I thought it was cool. Like I said, I love watching Gunter. And, you know, I'm especially all for
that compared to the Usos match.
Yes.
This was kind of
it was a breath. It was a breath of fresh air. You know, you actually saw two people that knew how to wrestle, that had their own separate move lists. You know, you had the Hulkamania moment at the end with Sammy. You know, it's a match you can't not like as an intercontinental fight, right?
Yeah, so it's really good. And then it moves into the women's world title with Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. Exactly how it was. I think they've done this dance a couple of times, and I already knew. I already had it in my head that, especially when it comes to WrestleMania, a lot of the folks who are either holding the title for a long time or was carrying the shows for a long time are eventually going to exit. So I had my suspicions that if Becky loses tonight, then I'm going to assume that Seth's going to lose, i.e. husband and wife are going to take some time off. So I went into that match with that notion, and sure enough, but they didn't disappoint. It was a world title match. Their entrances were more of the awe-inspiring stuff. And then, of course, Rhea catching Becky with a big move off the rope to end the match and retain the title.
So unlike the previous match we talked about, these two looked the part. These two looked the part. These two looked like there was a level of equality when it comes to parity. That's the word. There was parity between the two. You know, I laughed and sent you a message saying that Becky Lynch looked like an old school Marlboro cigarette pack with her costume, which was funny. I like Rhea Ripley. I think she's a great wrestler, and I think that she's going to continue to be great. And they're just building her up further. But yeah, it's knowing that Becky Lynch had like 102 fever that, you know, 10 minutes before she came out in the match, I thought she acquitted herself better than she should have.
Oh yeah. And this was interesting too, because there's always stories within the stories. So going back all the way to that six pack challenge match with the ladders, Judgment Day lost their titles. So they didn't hold the tag team anymore. So Rhea keeping the world title, it's either Damian Priest is going to cash in sometime, or he cashes in and loses it, or doesn't hold it, or holds it till Monday, or in which case it's either Rhea is going to split from the group or is going to essentially carry the group and replace members. So that was especially the next match, because that's what I watched for. And the hype, everyone was building up to this final moment. The Bloodline versus the contenders, if you will. But Seth is the champ in that team. But we had The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Yes. This was awesome. The Rock did more most work than intended for people. I'm gonna say people his age. I mean, his class of wrestlers from the Attitude Era are falling off the map of either retiring out or unfortunately passed away, or just not in super shape as The Rock is. This guy delivered. He came in and delivered. Go ahead, Ken. I was going to say
that the only one of the negative factors for this match, honestly, was the fact that it was 30 minutes just to get to the match. Like the intros just were so God bless it long. And you were like, I'm on the central time zone. You're on the West Coast. So it was a little bit better for you, but by like 9:30, I'm like, bro, come on, let's do this. Let's go. Seeing The Rock back in the ring, seeing him in his singlet, seeing him, you know, being The Rock again, was awesome. You definitely could tell, you know, he's knocking the rust off. I mean, you could tell it. But seeing him be the people's champ was legit.
Mm-hmm. Taunting Mama Rhodes with the Mama Rhodes belt and trying to whoop Cody. I like that he got the win. The right, yeah, and you called it too. You said, you know, they brought him here. Why not? Why are they going to make The Rock lose? The Rock won the match, and it was going to be Bloodline rules going into night two. And there was no well, and thank God, I guess, but there was a promise of blood in that match, Rock, and I didn't get blood. You said you were going to write white blood on that belt and present it to Mama Rhodes. That part of the story didn't happen, but hey.
So I feel, and this is kind of goes into it, right? It's hard for me as a fan of previous generations, obviously, to see we're going to have this big knockdown drag out of a fight between Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, and they're going to leave it all on the table on night one, to the exact next day having them come out and somehow be fresh and ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know, that part is what took me out of it. I feel like
having
two nights is
because because it was kind of like he was showing it in Rollins's title match. It was like he was showing the effects of the night previous, but then at the end of the night, as you know, we'll get into it. He was completely anew.
Yep.
He had his Senzo will love this because he had a Senzo bean.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
But yes, to end that night one, The Rock won the match, and there was going to be Bloodline rules the next match. Overall, night one, this was everything that it was promised. Every match, there was more excitement and energy in this night. And I'm going to say that was probably what's going to be the downfall for night two. Because like you said, it's who was willing to watch the Super Bowl twice?
Yeah.
Just so much energy. But I watched night one with my family, and that's where we had the food and the gathering. So it's nice to see it with people. And then I had to watch night two by myself.
Yeah. And I think that leads it to it. Like I think I would be willing to do it again. This, you know, first night I actually sat on the couch with my wife and watched it, and, you know, she was on her phone and stuff, but you know, I could hear her every now and then when like a, you know, guy jumping off the top rope, like, oh my gosh. I was like, yeah, that's what I remember, you know, and then having friends and family and all that over for that I think leads to the experience of what pay-per-view used to be. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, we go into night two. Of course, they had Snoop Dogg came out because he's always a wrestling fan. There was a bunch of celebrities. And, of course, Snoop Dogg is always going to make himself known because he's carrying around the WrestleMania or the golden title that he passes around, which is essentially a social media title because everyone takes pictures with it. But he is on commentary, and they have the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. This is Bobby Lashley's group with the Street Profits team, and then Karrion Kross with the Authors of Pain. Again, the big guys, these are awesome. I can tell you what, these are awesome guys. These are Bobby Lashley is no a stranger to you, I'm pretty sure. Everyone else is upcomers, new guys. Watch out for that Montez Ford. He was the the guy on Street Profits, like doing the high flying jumps.
Yeah,
he is the one they're watching out for. That's the diamond in the rough. The Rock puts his stamp of approval on that guy. He's gonna be big. However, the story, there was no really much story leading up to this match. And I can tell you what, in the previous shows, they didn't really have much for these guys either. As great as Bobby Lashley is, his storytelling is needs a little bit more work. Cause this guy he lets his actions speak more than his work. He is a Brock Lesnar type. You need someone to hold the animal back before you unleash him.
Yeah.
So match was good, but not great for me. How about for you?
So seeing Bobby Lee Ashley again was cool. Like, I really like him. And yeah, he is. He's a cookie cutter Brock Lesnar type. I thought the Street Profits were outstanding. Like, they reminded me of a very, very early Harlem Heat. Like, green, but they have so much charisma and power. I thought that they were – it was a great match for me as, like, a palate cleanser, you know, mm-hmm. to get back into it. I also watched this one on my own as a kind of a secondary as I was playing a role-playing game online. So – I had it on in the background, and then like all I would be playing my game, be like, oh shit, that just happened. So it was good times. Like I said, I love him. He's such a great wrestler.
And they brought Bubba out, and then they were doing a
that
whole bunch
was
of
my favorite part.
Dudley Boy spoofs in there, you know,
Yeah, seeing Bubba Ray Dudley was legit, and having him put on the glasses, and it was like, oh man, yep, I remember this.
And another, and I'm going to use your words too, a background match, which, and these guys are great too. One is great on the mic. The other one is great in the ring. LA Knight and AJ Styles. Great wrestlers. This was a great, or would have been a great match. I'm just that everyone, like, the previous night took away all the energy from people. And so everyone right now is just waiting for the title match. Yep. So it really, they put these guys in an unfortunate position to kind of lead up to the other one. So it's, yeah, this was a background match for me, unfortunately. But after SmackDown, they're going to do it again. They're going to rematch themselves again. So hopefully it's going to put them more on a spotlight to, because whoever wins that one is going to be gunning for a number of contendership for either of the titles. So that's why I say it's going to put more of a spotlight on them. This was just a grudge match on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a filler match. I mean, I take credence with anybody that's trying to take over the Macho Man spot on Slim Jim. Like I was doing reading, like, this guy, LA Knight's, like, claim to fame was he was actually the mocap guy for, like, the WWE 2K games for, like, years. So, like, that's his big claim to fame. And I guess I don't understand his character enough to, like, really get into it. I mean, it was a good match.
He's great now. He's known for the fastest rising star in the WWE. He was back, I guess, for the aggression era. He was coming up the same time as John Cena's, Randy Orton. He was that young group. He went by another name. I forget. He was also in the Tough Enough show. He did the Tough Enough show with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And then eventually he made it big when he was in TNA.
Okay.
So he came back. Went through their WWE's NXT and then came back to the main roster and is back up again. So he's one of those veterans that finally coming back. I mean, the same thing as AJ Styles. They're same tier. They came out around the same time, didn't make it in WWE, left, came back, and now they're the big names now coming up.
Okay.
So good things for them. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, we got the U.S. title match. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Anything with Randy Orton is going to be great in it. I'm curious to think what you – this was your first time watching Logan Paul wrestle?
Yes. And it's one of those, like, you hate the guy and I know you're supposed to. And I feel like that's the running gag, right, is mm-hmm. – but I thought – the fact that you own something that's now sponsoring the WrestleMania and then you do all that. I thought that actually took away from the match. I feel like if he hadn't done all that bull crap in the very beginning with the Prime stuff, I think it would have been a better, like, you can be a douche and be a douche. Like, that's your character. Be that guy. But I don't think you gotta, it's one of those, like, okay, guy, well, then I guess you own all this. So what's even the point of doing it?
Also, it kind of took away from you. It was like you are expecting him to win because he's sponsoring the place.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to have the guy that is sponsoring the Mania lose the title. You know, so it was like – but, I mean, I loved the Kevin Owens and Randy Orton showing up on the golf cart. That was funny, you know. And, you know, I thought the fact that they ganged up on Paul for as long as they did, that was funny. Yeah. You know, I like Kevin Owens. I've never seen him wrestle before, but this was cool to see him and, like, his style. You know, I like the bigger dude that can move.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Randy Orton, the guy's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens has the stamp of approval from Stone Cold.
Okay.
That's why his move is the Stone Cold Stunner. He made sure he got permission. And whoever, I mean, this is off, it's majority of it, it's going to be tailor made to the younger audience because of Logan Paul. And then whoever that guy was who was wearing the freaking Prime outfit, because apparently he's a big YouTuber tier, but thank God freaking Randy Orton kicked his ass. If you saw that was a real thing too, because the guy, he was hype. It was nice, you know, but I think he got too hype and then he put his hands on Randy, shoved him, started barking at him, and Randy straight up kicked his ass. He booted his Spartan, kicked his ass down, and then put him on the table and then RKO'd his ass. It was awesome. Yeah. But
that was Logan cool.
Paul got the win. Yes. So Randy Orton held that match up for me.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, for a guy who's pretty much, he did a few matches in boxing before he retired. But
him and Cena are like in the same generation, right? Like it was Randy Orton and Cena.
Oh yeah, yeah. Randy Orton and Cena, same class. Yes.
Yeah.
But Logan Paul, I mean, is for just a YouTuber. I mean, that's the title that's going to be above his head for just being a YouTuber. He's not a bad wrestler, as you saw. That was an insane move that he was able to jump off the turnbuckle higher than most folks, touch his toes, and then come down for a frog splash. His moveset is gets pretty insane. He's been known for a lot of they call it OMG moments. His own with the Ricochet at the Royal Rumble, jumping from both ends at the ring and colliding each other, and then that jump that he did for WrestleMania. This guy is definitely he's going to be definitely a most hated. He's going to be a heel. He is a heel, but he's playing that really good.
Oh, 100%. And I think everybody also is just waiting for his brother to get his ass beat by Mike Tyson.
That too. I was surprised his brother was supposed to make an appearance in here. Like Jake would come down and kind of like interfere, and then that's how Logan retains. But I guess that didn't happen. And then off of already a good high match, and then we had Io Sky versus Bayley, the WWE Women's Championship. This was going to be a background one for me again too, because I mean there was a story there, but then again, like I said, it got washed in the way of the matches to come. However, Io Sky, stamp of approval from Rey Mysterio. This girl idolizes Rey Mysterio, and then as the match was going, and then Bayley went for her signature move to just basically a front Russian leg sweep, and then Io Sky flips out of it. Was just insane. It was Matrix at its best, essentially. It was awesome because it was something so simple. It happened so quick that kind of like brought me back to it again.
Yeah, I think because physically they were a little closer, it was definitely more believable. For me, it's difficult for me to see, and I know we'll probably talk about it later, but it's difficult for me to see such a huge dichotomy between two wrestlers and then to try to believe that one has a chance. You know, Rey Mysterio was that guy, right? In WCW, it was Rey Mysterio versus the Giant. It's like, bro, come on now. Let's, you know, and back then he was not a heavyweight. Yeah, Rey Mysterio was a flyweight at best, right? You know, and those were fun matches, but you never once thought Rey Mysterio was going to pull out a win. So seeing a closer physical match is definitely a best. And I liked how Bayley wrestled. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the result of that, Bayley became the new women's champion. So awesome.
Right.
Next, finally, we started getting into the big title matches. Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the world title. And it went as expectingly as I thought it was going to go. Drew McIntyre dominated most of the match because Seth Rollins was hurt. From the previous night. A bunch of good spots. They made Drew McIntyre look dominant, because every time Seth nailed his signature move, Drew kicked out, and then with a quick Claymore kick, finally put Seth Rollins down and became the world champion. We had CM Punk was in the commentary table, and I thought it was going to be a introduction of a future match between the two for the world title. Lo and behold, Damian Priest cashes in Money in the Bank after CM Punk cheap shotted fucking Drew. And then Damian Priest is now the world champion. I was sad, Ken, because we wanted Drew as a world champion, and he had
He was.
Yeah, for 5 minutes. Yes, he was.
So this was like my introduction into the new rules, right? So I didn't understand, the cash in the bank thing doesn't. To me, it felt that it's like a Royal Rumble, but it's not a Royal Rumble. You know, I now understand the concept, right? You know, you have the ability to cash in that briefcase for a title shot, or my guess is any shot you want, right? Is that kind of what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Certain matches to watch out for now that a new year is going to start. You have summer's coming up, so you have SummerSlam. That is essentially, they're building up to, that's a mid WrestleMania. That's SummerSlam is their big one. You're going to have another Money in the Bank match. That's where that briefcase comes in effect. You got a man and a woman briefcase. Whoever wins that in the ladder match, and it's going to be between six people, can hold on to that and either cash it then and there, or they can hold on to it like Damian Priest for almost a year. And it's, you're essentially watching that person, waiting for him to cash in on an unsuspecting champion.
Okay.
And then you have the Royal Rumble.
Kind of like the hardcore championship used to be. Like the hardcore championship was like that.
24/7, yes.
Yeah. So that made sense. And I got the storyline behind it. I don't know enough about CM Punk and Drew McIntyre to really, I got that they had beef, but for me it was okay, it was, I thought that the fact that McIntyre stayed out as long as he did and all that they were building to something like that. So I wasn't surprised so much as I've seen McIntyre wrestle. I like his style. The Big Scott is freaking legit. And I will also say, I absolutely love the amount of Irish and Scottish and just Japanese and Mexican, all of the countries that I remember, Ken Shamrock was the most Irish we had, when I was growing up, so having all these people other than US, Canada, and Mexico, that is really cool. I really enjoy having those people in there wrestling.
You got a bunch of your Irishmen, and then I got a bunch of my Islanders.
Yeah. And seeing that match go, and it was the first match of the night, I think.
That
hit where we were talking about, I don't understand how Seth Rollins can go from, barely holding on to consciousness the night before to defending, but they worked it in. I thought they did a pretty decent job of working that part in, for the match.
Yeah. He was wrestling all taped up. So he was trying to portray that he was hurt. And then we segue into the main event of the evening, the final match, Bloodline Rules for the undisputed WWE title, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You're going to have your long walkways, because Roman Reigns walks slow. Everyone's going to recognize the tribal chief when he walks out there. The only different that with this match, that again, the hype was bigger than the match. I didn't see what the hell bloodline rules was. Because to me, it would be, okay, you're going to bring your entire family out there.
Yeah.
Essentially, he's going to help you win. For majority of the match, it was a normal one-on-one match. Occasionally, they'll bring in a weapon or two, you know, little smacks of a kendo stick or a chair. But other than that, there was attention of the match started to go down until – man, Jimmy Uso came in, super. Another sweet chin music. There's 36, by the way, to Cody Rhodes, and then lo and behold, Jey Uso comes out, takes out his brother, and then we had Solo Sokoa. This is the Usos, the twins. This is their little brother. So okay. He came out there, and he spikes Cody in the neck, and then makes Roman pin. There's another kick out. Then they do a double team, and Cody kicks out again, and then he is taken out by – who took him out? Was it Cody?
No, wasn't that Cena?
Cena. John Cena came out. That one was a surprise for me. John Cena coming out because he didn't put any notion that he was gonna to make his way down. But yeah, so John Cena, because they had John Cena's last match was with him, so there that was the beef. Mm-hmm. So he comes out, he takes out Solo Sikoa with attitude adjustment through the table, and then the final boss, The Rock, comes out and he takes out John Cena. They have their little moment because, you know, calling homage mm-hmm. to the last WrestleManias ago when it was them two. So The Rock takes out John Cena, and then Roman Reigns accidentally, or no, that was in the other one, but takes out The Rock. We were thinking, everyone was hoping Stone Cold.
He was thinking it was Stone Cold.
Yeah, everyone was wishing Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to take out The Rock. And then all of a sudden, dong, then The Undertaker appears, chokeslams the shit out of The Rock. The lights go off. Rock and The Undertaker are gone. It's just Cody and Reigns again. After a bunch of crossroads cutters on Roman Reigns, he finally falls. And Cody Rhodes has finally finished the story and became the undisputed Universal Champion. Started off slow, but this match ended really, really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was going to be that way. And I think that's the issue of having like the Hall of Fame and then all, I guess, the social media and all that now, is that there really is no surprises anymore. You know, I think having Taker come on instead of Stone Cold, that was kind of probably a quick thing. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen Stone Cold and stun the Rock one more time. But that's fine. I hate the idea of finishing the story, because I feel like thematically and as an entertainer, you never want to finish the story. I think had they gone like finish this chapter or done something, and I understand that was the whole point of and what they were calling it, but, and we'll probably get into it because I watched Raw too. It cheapened it. Like, I feel like, okay, well, the story's finished. Now Cody Rhodes is the champion. What now? And then they had to bring The Rock back out to do it. Exactly. You know, to do anything.
Exactly. I felt the same way. Now, Cody Rhodes was a champion. You know, there was a big celebration. And I'm talking to my brother and then my son who was watching it too. It was like, he just took down the greatest champion of the generation right now. You know, he is behind Hulk Hogan and Bruno Sammartino. He held it for 3 years. We finally beat Thanos. Now what? It's like any other contender for Cody it's nothing. Like, who is that going to be? That's why I was like, when I was watching like SmackDown, I was like, none of those competitors should not compare to Cody Rhodes. And then, you know, we got, that's where we, we segue into, oh, so before I segue into Monday Night Raw, overall, what do you think of night two?
I think, I mean, we already kind of hit on it a bunch with, you know, having night one cheapens the matchups. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like it's a money grab, of course, to split it into two nights. But the amount of time that they took on intros and all that and kind of all the other little things, they could have sprinkled in 50 to 70% of the matches from night one mm-hmm. into night two. And made it a thing, you know, and, you know, had SmackDown have the match between The Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth, and have that as the, oh my God, something's going to, you know, mm-hmm. what's going to happen on Sunday, you know? And I remember yeah. that's how it used to be, right?
Exactly. Like
you had to wait two full days and you had that anticipation. It didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Like all the energy went into it.
We're Hall of Fame night. Everyone's loving and kissing on each other and everything's great and cool and wonderful, you know, and then go into Saturday night and everybody's supposed to be at each other's at each other's throats again. And then you have these wrestlers who are giving it their all on the first night, but then they're supposedly going to be peasy clean, ready to go night two. And if they're not, then doesn't that cheapen night two? Mm-hmm. I feel
and that's
like
why we went into yeah. this movie review that we're going to do too,
right?
Because yeah. What you're getting at is kayfabe. There's yeah. no more of that kayfabe reality anymore. Just
nope.
like Undertaker would hold that persona. He held that persona for the rest of his life until he
30 years.
Died. Yep.
He 30 held, years.
He yeah. held that. It was amazing. But now that social media, behind the scenes, everyone is seeing that wrestling is fake. Everyone is seeing it. And everyone's seeing that the script is coming. Everyone's going to the press conference saying, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the show. But you don't see that the beef is real anymore. So, mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, for us, that's what it is I'm taking away. And I have to learn how to take that and be like, oh, yay, that was a great show.
I know I won't watch any press release or the press conferences or anything. Like, I don't want that. I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I want, like, how Jeff Jarrett and, you know, Chris Jericho were jerks all the time. And mm-hmm. that's how, you know, it's just like football, right? Like watching football on Sundays. You don't want these dudes talking about how awesome, you know, their opponent is before the game. You can talk about it afterwards, but before mm-hmm. the game, I want, you know, Green Bay to want to fight, you know, Dallas. That's what I want. So
yes.
that's kind of what lost it for me. You know, I mm-hmm. I watched Raw and I watched NXT, but I did not watch SmackDown. So
yeah, so it's pretty much the same. So every time a Raw after WrestleMania, as it's called, you're always expecting a surprise. This is where the surprises happen now. So now it's day one mm-hmm. of their new wrestling,
the new reign. Yeah,
yeah. So we got our answer with Cody, kinda. So Cody Rhodes came out there, addressed that he's champion. The Rock came out there and congratulated him, said, good, you finished your story with Roman Reigns. Now you just started a new story with The Rock. So now it's The Rock is notioning that he is going to go for that title. What we got out of Monday, there's no Roman Reigns to show up.
Nope.
So it's kind of playing off. He's going to either – they're going to put him on a break. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch then show up. So as expected, they're going to be put on a break. So they're kind of giving the champions their due. They announced the next pay-per-view, Backlash, is going to be in France. So I already know it's going to be a big crowd when they go to foreign countries.
Yeah.
That was good. But then we also got the news that The Rock is going to go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
So he's going to be at break. So now it's like – We answered the question. The only person who can really go for the title match for Cody Rhodes after taking down Thanos, WWE's Thanos, Roman Reigns, is going to be The Rock, but then he's going to take a break. So now it's – you kind of already defeated the next pay-per-view or his title defense, because it's either going to be a squash match or it better be someone who is going to be a contender. And that's where
I think that might be the issue, is that they – tried immediately to set up the next thing. Like, you gotta let these things just boil. You know, it's slow. He just made the championship. Unless you're taking it away from him directly, then you just let it sit for a minute. And then bring somebody else, you know, from below or to the side. You know, start bringing that in. And that's how you build it up. That's how they did Rhodes for 2 years. You know, they it was a slow build-up. And, you know, is he or isn't he? And that's how I think – I don't know. I think it'll depend on this generation and whether or not they can wait. You know, can they hold on to get a story, or is it just going to be, oh, well, now we know it's The Rock, so whenever he comes back is when it'll happen.
Yeah. So there was no new people that I got introduced. So that was the lowest level of Raw, especially for after WrestleMania, that I've ever seen, because there has always been a surprise. This one, I didn't get any surprises. Mm-hmm. However, that's when we go into SmackDown. So you said you watched NXT up there. You saw some folks leaving there. There were folks that lost their titles. So that's on SmackDown. We got introduced Bron Breakker, the son and nephew of the Steiner brothers, made his debut. And then we get a small little news update of the Bloodline. So Roman Reigns is out. They said he wasn't focused, and that's why he lost his title. And then Solo looked like he was gonna take over the Bloodline, and then he took out his older brother Jimmy. And then we got introduced to Tama Tonga. If you don't know who Tama Tonga is, that's Haku.
Okay,
that's his son.
Wow,
the Bloodline is huge.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of theories going up, because now that Tama Tonga is in there, they're also thinking, if you remember Umaga, Rikishi's brother, his son, Zilla Fatu, might be coming in too. So I'm thinking that either a new Bloodline is going to build, and we're going to eventually see a match of the new Bloodline versus the old Bloodline, with Roman probably coming back as a babyface and reuniting with his cousins, the Usos. Or it's that new Bloodline versus a Bloodline with The Rock, in which case you got Roman and The Rock eventually going to go butt heads. But that's all speculation. Those were the new guys. And then there was a bunch of matches for the number one contendership, and leading up to the final match, which is going to be LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Winner gets to be number one contender. And then they announced that there's going to be a draft. There might be surprises with the WWE draft. So, but yeah, that was SmackDown.
Well, like I said, it was a cool way of like getting back in. Like I said, if you're going to get back in for the new year, then you probably start at Mania. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how this era is going to go.
Like Triple H's era.
Yeah. So, and that's great. Like, I love seeing him where he is at. I thought it was cool having Stephanie McMahon show up on night two. You know, I thought, you know, that they've got the pieces, and I think he's got enough of an idea of what to do. I think what it's going to come down to is whether or not they are going to have the ability to complete, you know, to continue to sell the product. As I'll tell you, like the woman's NXT champion, you know, 4'10" of her.
Yeah.
I watched her defend her title twice in 2 days, and I was like, not impressed. There's no way you can sell her at all. You can't. And I don't.
Especially with the girls that they are on the main roster now. She's pint size compared to the Giants.
Right.
Especially from Jade and Naomi and freaking Belair.
So it'll be interesting to see. But I think before we get out of here, we should probably review the movie.
Ooh, yeah. Did you like that bit of carnage in the Max Destruction Squared Circle? Yeah, that's right, you did. And now the cream of the crop, the triangulation of terror, the superior specimens. Ken and Scotty will return next week to drop an elbow on you jabroni fools with a review.
of wrestling film, ready to rumble, yeah.